Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I am Tom, and with me is Doug.
Hello, the poet laureate of Music Manumit.
The poet laureate?
Because you were just rhyming.
Right before, but the thing is nobody heard that part of the rhyme.
Well,
that
I know,
was right before we started.
That, yeah, but...
I mean, I'll take the label. I'll be the poet laureate.
Well, there's only two of us, so one of us has to be the poet laureate.
Right.
So, I mean...
And you were the namer of it, so I guess that would make you the... I want to say king, but that doesn't work.
I could be the king.
I know. But, like, who offers... Or who's the one that names the people of the... Of the... Palace? Why am I thinking like kings and queens all of a sudden? Like, why is medieval Europe
from,
going through my head right now?
You're just still stuck on the royal wedding.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Did we talk about the royal wedding last week?
I don't know. I feel like...
I don't care. I mean...
No, I don't either. And I don't get it. And I don't understand. The funniest thing that came out of it was there was a quote by... I want to say by... TV's Frank, if you're familiar with Mystery Science Theater.
Slightly.
Okay. Well, he was one of the... He has a Twitter account, and he was apparently live tweeting, basically like doing like they do on Mystery Science Theater and making fun of things as it was going on. And one of the things he said at the very end, he's just like, wow, now they're married, and if two or more of his relatives die, then he will really be an important person, or something like that. And I was like, wow, but that's true. I mean, they have absolutely no power in the entire monarchy, I don't get. So, I mean, do they do anything?
They knight people.
They do, and apparently anyone... They've knighted some pretty strange people.
I think you have to have made some significant contribution to British society.
Mm.
Who are you questioning?
Well, let's see. Who did they knight? It was really strange. Like, didn't they knight... I don't know why, but Elton John just keeps popping into head, but that's not the one I'm thinking of.
But they did knight Elton John.
Right, they did. And I think they knighted George Michael, maybe.
That's okay. That's all right.
But that's they didn't invite him to the wedding though. See, this is the problem. I don't care about the wedding, but my wife gets People magazine and Us magazine, and that's what it's been for like the past 2 weeks, and it's gonna be for two more weeks. So I have all this dumb knowledge about it. Except the one thing I didn't know was that lady that had the crazy squid hat. I didn't know about that until the internet took hold of it. Are you familiar with that one?
No, I didn't see any people with weird hats.
Oh.
I heard of the weird hats.
Yeah, no, I guess the I don't know, bridesmaids or whatever, they wear goofy hats. No, they're supposed to be fancy hats. They're the kind of hats, like, they're not really hats at all. They're things that get attached to your hair, but they look like hats. Well, this one had one that looked like, it just looked like she had a big giant squid hanging from her head. People on the internet made a bunch of memes on it. So... Huh.
We should really stop talking about this, but I
know,
want to say
I'm proving that I know way more than I should about this whole thing, and
well,
I really don't care.
You did that a long time ago, Tom. but I do, when you mentioned George Michael, it does say Sir George Michael a couple places here,
mm-hmm.
So
I didn't
go to Wikipedia, which is what I should have done.
That's true, that's very unlike you.
But... I just Googled it, but what I was laughing about, I don't know if you heard me, was one of these article headlines is, George Michael thinks Sir Elton John is like a grumpy old woman.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I just found that funny.
That is kind of funny.
It's from March 13th, 2011.
So recently.
I
wonder what they're catfighting about.
I don't know. At first, I thought it said, when I read it before, I thought it said, Sir Elton John is a grumpy old woman.
Right.
Which I thought was even funnier.
That is even funnier.
But, this one's good, too.
Hmm.
Like it.
Yeah.
So I guess I didn't know that George Michael was British.
Wait, you didn't know he was British?
I didn't care.
No, see, now that's the thing. I did like George Michael and his earlier music. I will openly admit that. And he is my go-to for karaoke. I will sing Faith on any given karaoke visit. I openly admit that.
I've never been big into karaoke, but one time we went to karaoke with one of my friends. I don't remember why we decided to go this one time, mm-hmm. but we did the hardcore version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was pretty hardcore.
Wait, the hardcore version, is there a non-hardcore version, or are you talking about like when Tori Amos did a cover of it, or?
No, I'm saying like Mike and I did like hardcore vocals on it.
So like the regular vocals?
Hardcore. No, it's like a grunge song, Tom. It's not hardcore.
I suppose. I don't know. Potato, potato, you know. Which, by the way, I realized that particular
He's
phrase.
He's not like yelling like the, like a Bambino Tranquino or whatever. I can't even think of the words. But, wow. You know, like there's like, we were just like. And like my mic wasn't even on for most of it. And yeah. I was still pretty loud. And then they turned it on like halfway through when they figured it out it wasn't on. And I think I just about blew the speakers. And probably some people lost their hearing that night very briefly until they were like, oh, that was really loud. Oh, I think we went because it was one of my friend's birthday.
That's usually the reason you go. It's yeah. either an office function or somebody's birthday. Really, so one we of the two just, reasons.
Well, they went to like karaoke like all the time, like every week.
I don't get that.
The person whose birthday it was. And so I was like, all right, well, this one time I will go.
Have you?
Dude, George Michael's name is Georgios Kariakos Panayiotou, something like that. That's ridiculous.
I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I guess he's Greek.
I could see that. He looks like he's Greek, probably. He's very very olive skinned.
Yeah.
Whereas most I would say most British musicians are very pale.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're up there in the north.
We're up here in the north too, and I guess
they're north of where we are.
Yes, that's true. That's very true. And we all do get a bit pale.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, George Michael doesn't release under Creative Commons as far as I'm aware. So.
Yeah, he might. We don't know. He hasn't really done anything recently that we know of.
Yeah, maybe he's on SoundCloud like Britney Spears and Madonna.
Exactly. Who else was just not, like on SoundCloud recently, Beastie Boys released their stuff on there.
And, yeah, I saw that.
And you know, did you see why they did it? And I don't know if this is true or not.
Because all the cool kids are doing it?
No, because they claim it's because the studio clean version of the album got leaked online. So they decided just to release the actual album online for streaming, which I thought they were going to do anyway. So I don't know if it was just a marketing thing, but that's what they claim on their website, is that they were just like, hey, this got leaked, so... I don't remember the wording, but it kind of seemed like they were mad, but at the same time going, suck it, we'll just release it ourselves, you know, was the way that I took it.
Yeah, so, well, I'm sure that people are really mad about that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Way to get back at them.
And what a surprise. Oh, no, it was being published online? No! How did this happen? How could we do this? I like that. That was very cartoonish of me. I was just watching The Simpsons, and that seems like something they would do there. Yeah, so they got that streaming, and then who else just Foo Fighters.
Now, did they put their stuff under Creative Commons? Because the Beastie Boys have done that in the past.
Foo Fighters did theirs just streaming.
Well, I mean, the Beastie Boys, but...
That's a good question. I don't think they did. I was just
why
streaming
are we still talking
night.
About
it? Yeah. Well, because it's a step in the right direction. Offering streaming music online, offering a whole album streaming is still a step in a good direction, you know, getting the music to the people. So, I mean, you know, that's in my book, I think that's a good thing.
I am not impressed.
You're not impressed? Ah, damn it. I should have done a little soft shoe. Maybe you would have been impressed.
Well, if you could write a good poem.
That's true. Going back to
I don't really know. Are you like the dancer laureate as well?
No, actually, I am not. Aside from a short period of time in my life when I decided to take up breakdancing, I am not a dancer whatsoever.
Mm.
I was fairly accomplished as a breakdancer, though, if I do say so myself. But I was 10 at the time, so who knows?
There are a lot of Beastie Boys remixes on SoundCloud. I'm going to have to check some of these out.
Yeah, I noticed the remix thing, too, and I'm not quite sure if that's like they're saying, hey, remix it, do this with it, you know.
Yeah. There's one that's almost certainly incorrectly licensed as BY. Maybe I'll play that one next week.
Maybe. I wonder if it is just incorrectly, or is it posted by somebody else or posted by them?
Well, yeah. I mean, all these remixes are posted by other people, but most of them are like all rights reserved.
Hmm.
Which but this one, somebody put it under BY, which they can't really do that.
Well, they can't really put it under copyright or all rights reserved either.
That is fair. That is fair.
Are you saying it's fair use, or are you saying that my point is fair?
Your point is fair.
Okay, good.
But I think that's like an extra step. Not only have you taken it upon yourself to remix it, you've also relicensed it. So it's like there's two crimes rather than one.
I actually just had that sort of similar predicament that I had to make a judgment on. We did a compilation album of, I told you about the bands that play other bands' songs.
Well, I downloaded two of those tracks and listened to them.
Oh, cool.
I don't remember what the bands were, but I forgot them. I got the song.
No, oh, all right. And I put it up on the site, but I just put it as streaming. But I also put it under non-commercial share alike, because it's not our song, but I want people to be able to go, okay, you can share this with other people, but that's pretty much all you can do with it. And I didn't offer the ability to download it anyway. So,
well, then how did I download it?
I don't know. I think I sent you a copy of it. That's just me being nice.
No, I don't think you did, dude.
I wonder where you found it then. Yeah, no, we turned off the ability to download it. I know that. Or at least we should have. It's supposed to be.
What was the name of the thing again? The
Local Love Fest?
Local Love Fest. Oh. What? Didn't you put them on Free Music Archive?
Not that one. I don't think I put that one on there. And if I did,
there is a Local Love Fest on Free Music Archive. I'm almost sure.
Yeah, but I don't know if I gave it the ability to download, or did I?
Well, I downloaded it. So,
you know what? I meant to turn off the downloading ability. Then it might be up there. Okay, well, regardless, that wasn't the point of my story. The point of my story is that, I still put it under I actually put it under non-commercial. Because I put it just under the sharing license, and
is also no derivatives. But
right, I think I did put no derivatives as well. I put it across the board. At least I meant to. If I didn't, but that was the whole thing. Is it was like I had to make that decision because it wasn't our song. Although we did get permission to do it for this compilation, not necessarily. And I wanted to just link to it directly online, and tell people that they could buy it. But I couldn't find. I couldn't find it anywhere online. I don't know where this album is online. I know who did it, and I've contacted them, but that's about it. Otherwise, I think it was just a offering for the local event, the CD itself. Yeah. I think it was a short run. So who knows?
It's Lorenzo's Music :110211- Lorenzo's Music Local Love Fest Live, High Noon Saloon. And everything is there. Downtown went your way. Dust and Shadows. Voom,
voom, voom, oh, that voom, thing. Voom, boom.
Yeah. And then,
oh, that's the... Okay, you're talking about the actual live thing. Oh, yeah, the live thing. I figured that was free use. Or fair
okay.
use.
What are you talking? Because it's got the H-Bomb Skins Tones cover on it. And I got another Owen Lady cover.
I'm talking about the actual CD cut. the CD okay. that was created.
I didn't know
for
there
the
was a CD cut.
Yeah,
until
and that's what
now.
I'm saying is like
even
I
though you were it. Saying that, I was ignoring the fact that you were saying that. I mean, this is a CD, right? So
that's just a bootleg recording of the show.
Oh well, you've got a CD cover.
That's the cover of the actual CD compilation that I was originally talking about. I put that up there.
All coming together.
Yes, I put that up there because it needed a cover. I don't know. I didn't have any pictures of the show. So, although there was, they were shooting video all over the damn place. There was like five cameras syncing up there and running into the soundboard, and I haven't seen anything. I don't know. The whole thing was a mystery. Like getting the show itself, kind of heard about it last minute. We wrote the song that night and recorded it, or we listened to the song we wanted to do, recorded it, and then sent it off to him like the next day, and. You know, and then the show was the next week. It was a bizarre event. Just because it, and then afterwards, it's like it never happened. You know, except for the fact that I have a recording of it. It's like a ghost. I don't know. I forget where I was. Oh, I was just saying that. So since it was someone else's music, I put it under the Creative Commons sharing license.
You put that whole album under non-commercial, the whole Love Fest.
Right.
Even though you've got some of the songs are yours, most of them.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't want to go through and do it individually. I just figured.
Yeah, which you can do.
Yeah, you can.
On Free Music Archive, but you can't on Jamendo, which is
really?
Kind of a pain. Yeah, well, as far as I'm aware, you can't. And then if you look at the compilations on Jamendo, they're not really like there's one artist. And then, you know, like the albums are actually where the license information is. Like if you go to a track page on Jamendo, you can't even see the license there. You have to go to the album page.
Yeah, that I know because I always have to go back when I look at or when I'm listening to a song. I hate that.
Incredibly irritating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. But I also learned an interesting thing this week, too, because if anybody out there has been using the Google MP3 player, which is, you know, in your email, when you go to play something, if there's an MP3 and you can choose to play or download, and then you click play and it opens up that little player, or if you're in Reader and there's a file there, you can click the little player that's embedded there. Well, there was a way that you could get that code and then just embed it on sites. And, you know, paste it in there, just switch out the MP3 that it's connecting to, and then you would have a player on your site. Well, Google Video, which the player was based off of, went offline recently, and everybody's players stopped working.
That's not good.
Yeah. So there are workarounds, and I think the code itself may even have been updated and for the player itself and now works because... What I had to do is I have a wiki that has a bunch of embeddable stuff that was using that. And I had to go through and figure out a way to do it because I don't know how to. I don't want to use all the storage space up on the wiki, and I'd rather have it hosted somewhere externally or on archive.org. So I used the Google Player, and while I was going, well, crap, now I got to find another embeddable one that I don't have to have server capabilities and all that crap for. Well, there's one called... Do Player, and it's a nifty little flash player.
Is it sponsored by Mountain Dew?
No, it is not. I would think that too, and it's even got green buttons and everything. But in more searching around for it and looking for codes
it's
and how to manipulate,
on the mount.
Apparently it is the player that Jamendo uses. So it's highly customizable, and they have a bunch of different ways. Like they show you like different versions of it you can download, manipulate, and And you can create your own music player with album covers and, you know, pretty much like the Jamendo player. And I think I've always thought that the Jamendo player was a pretty snazzy little player. I've always been pretty impressed by it. So finding what they use to make it, I thought was kind of cool. So that would be, I think it's doplayer.com. It is in French. The site is in French. So you will need some sort of, you know, most browsers automatically have a translate in them. But if not, you will need to find one that does have it. But that would be, let me get the link just to make sure. Do Player. And that's do as in, like you were saying, like Mountain Dew. It's D-E-W. And it's actually ALSA Creations. So it's built off of open source sound cards and, you know, the ALSA is the sound engine or the sound, God, is it the engine? Because Pulse Audio is the engine built off of
ALSA.
Yeah, something like that. ALSA is essentially the, you know, the backing of the sound on open systems. And that's what that's the company that builds this and works on it. Even though it works with MP3s. You know, irony, I know. But so if you go to alsacreations.fr/DoPlayer, or just look up DoPlayer, D-E-W, player, on Google, you'll find it. So you know what? I was going to say something else for my tool of the week, but that's going to be my tool of the week. An embeddable player that you can customize for your site. Done.
Sweet.
That's it. And it works in all browsers, apparently. It's even got a plugin for Opera. You know, whenever the new version of Opera comes out and people use it for 5 minutes and go, oh, yeah, I remember this, and then stop using it again. So, I mean, seriously, it's the only time I know when people use Opera is they're like, oh, that looks nifty. Look at the new release. And then you go, oh, but it doesn't do the stuff that I like it to do.
I used Opera for a little while because it has a built-in torrent client, and I liked that. But
you know what you might like? There's one that's very, very, I think it's even built off of Mozilla. It's called Wizo, the Wizo browser. It has built-in torrent, and it has built-in, it's got other features like iCandy-ish things, like if you go to Flickr, you can view the page using Cool Iris, so it's a big wall of, like, you know, flip through, you know, pictures and stuff that you can look at. WYZO, I believe, is the actual browser name. And the logo?
RO.
Yeah.
YZO. Music download.
And the logo looks like the Wario logo, which I found incredibly amusing as well. Because then every time when I opened the... went to click on the button to open it, I'd always go, Wario! Didn't we talk about Mario last week? I want to say we
played
did
a track not too long
That's
ago.
Right. Okay. I want to say we recently talked about Mario, and I got to do that voice a different time.
I don't think this is the right site. YZO.RO.
No,
WYZO?
Yeah, YZO or YSO? No.
Wait, the media browser. Okay, WYZO.
There you go, YZO. And I used it for a while, and I liked it. And then it was on my work computer because I'll try anything on my work computer. I will beat I will beat the hell out of that computer. I mean, I love having that. And I'll download anything and install it on that and try things out and go. And it's got built-in, like, VLC player, it looks like. And I used it on version 2.5, and now it looks like they're up to version 3. So it's WYZO.com, and it's got built-in torrent and bunch of fun stuff, and its back end is Mozilla, if I'm not mistaken.
I guess you don't know what version it's built on. Well, it looks like it's version 3.6.4, so I'm guessing it's built off Firefox 3.6.4, so that's kind of outdated at this point. There's a lot of security fixes that have come out since then, plus Firefox 4 has come out.
But it says more secure right on the website. That means it's true, right?
Maybe it is. I don't know. Wizo is a web browser based on Mozilla's Firefox. Some modifications are Fire download accelerates regular HTTP downloads up to 10x! Exclamation mark.
The BitTorrent integration was cool because I didn't even realize it was doing it. And I would just, you know how usually, no, I mean, no, what
just
I mean.
Just downloading stuff in the background.
not in the sense that, like, oh my God, all this stuff got downloaded. No, it was,
you're actually, like, running a torrent server and you don't know about it.
But what it would do is, you know, normally you click on a torrent and you have to go, the pop-up goes, and you either download it first and then put it in your torrent, or copy and paste it and put it in the torrent, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This one, you just click on it and it does it like you're just downloading a file. You know, like the regular download window pops up and you're up and running, you know. And that's the funny thing is, I mean, I used it a little bit. And the reason I got it is because I saw it as an ad on Torrent Freak, the website, and saw that. And I was like, no way. And I loaded it. And I don't even know what I was doing. Oh, no. I was reading an article on Torrent Freak. That's why. Because I was going to say otherwise, I only use torrents very rarely. So
they don't have a Linux version, so.
That might be the other thing. Like I said, I did it on my work computer. So that would...
My work computer is a machine. But that's beside the point. yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, Windows people then, if you're looking for a torrent browser.
They have a Mac version as well, actually.
See, there's that weird thing again. It's like it's not on all three. It's on like, okay, we'll do these two versions, but not this one. But I guess that's more common when you have a Windows Mac version rather than the Mac Linux
stuff. Yeah, you know? Definitely. I would think so.
Yeah. But in this day and age, it doesn't pop up as much as it used to. There, you know, you always had to find the alternative. And I even hear that the Adobe suite is on the radar, I'm doing air quotes, for the next version.
Well, they had that where people, the vote, you know, where you could vote, go and tell Adobe that you wanted it.
Right.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the on the radar thing, that was their response after a bunch of stuff. And like one person just said, yes, Creative Suite is on the radar for the next, or for Linux on the next, or is on the radar for Linux. And that was pretty much the response. It was something just like that. Like it was one sentence and gave hope, but it really didn't go, oh, we're totally going to do that. You know, on the radar. Like, what does that mean? You know,
just like Steam, right?
Yeah.
There was all that news about Steam. All right. So we're not talking about music.
yeah. It's debatable, but we weren't really talking about music.
Does Adobe have a music editor in their suite?
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay.
And also a lot of bands need
continue
to
continue then.
A lot of bands need to do artwork and other such things like that.
That's true. That is true.
I mean, most
they
artists
should be using the GIMP.
GIMP or Inkscape. Inkscape. That's true. And there's I think I spoke once before about GIMP Studio, which is a project over on Google Code, which like totally pimps out your GIMP install. They just released it. They've been working on it for a while. But, yeah, I always say those, too, and I prefer those programs, even though I have to work with Adobe Creative Suite stuff at work. Bugs me. All right.
So your picks for Mother's Day, or were they – did you pick them for Mother's Day? I noticed that you
– No, I didn't. Much like
I thought maybe some of them could have been, like, Back to Wisconsin. I thought
right.
maybe that hit and I thought about you – and I was like, when I was thinking about this, I was like, well, maybe Tom and his mom had a falling out, and then there was Start Again was the last one. But the one that I couldn't really make happen was A Friendly Game of Stomp to This. maybe Tom's mom is like a stomp artist, you know, like does the trash cans.
And... Right. Like I've actually seen Stomp. Have you ever seen Stomp?
No.
Yeah, it's fun for about, you know, it's fun the first time you see it, and then you never need to see it again.
You mean the movie or actual, like, stomping?
No,
I've seen
actual stomp, like, in a theater, like the actual performers.
I've seen, like, people doing stomp, yes, but I've not seen, like, the musical or whatever called Stomp.
Right. Well, they just, it's almost like a concert. They just do songs, and they'll set up different situations where they do them, and...
But so you're talking about like the musical called Stomp?
Yeah, I mean whatever. Yeah, they came through town. I would say they're more of a troupe rather than it being a musical because like there's no storyline or anything, so I wouldn't really call it a musical. That would be like calling the Blue Man Group a musical.
Okay.
You know, it's more like that. It's more of a performance.
There maybe the name of the movie was Stomp Out Loud or something.
They did have a Stomp movie version, but.
Oh, okay.
Still, it's just them performing live.
I haven't seen like the group Stomp, but I have seen whatever it is that they do when they're being stomped. I have seen people do that.
Interesting useless fact: the guy that runs the whole, who created the whole Stomp thing, is married to Catherine Najimy, who is the voice of Peggy Hill. On the King of the Hill show.
Huh.
There you go. Interesting, that is, useless fact.
That is definitely interesting. I was like, this is totally not interesting until you said King of the Hill. And I was like, huh, that is interesting.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why they're married, and I don't know why I know that. So anyway, yeah, no, none of mine. I didn't realize till I started putting my songs into the show post itself.
That there was a Mother's Day coming up.
Yeah. Pretty much, or at least that we were theming the show that way. I knew there was a Mother's Day coming up. I called my mom. She didn't answer. I left a message. You know, what can you do?
Were like, can we start again? Yeah. I'm back in Wisconsin.
Wow. Way to bring that back. Nice. No, actually, my show, my song picks were, I was kicking around on what's it called? CC Mixter, the new dig section that they have. Finally kind of getting that site. I never really got it before, and I'd go there. It's not organized well, and it's no. Like, but I get now, like,
what I've had to do in the past is you have to actually, like, go into the HTML and get the actual pointer to the MP3 file if you want the, like, original. Mm-hmm. And then that's because I played one the other, like, a couple weeks ago, and that's how I got it.
Right.
It's like I went in there and just wgetted it.
Well,
and if you don't know what wget is, then it doesn't matter. Don't worry about it.
And it's the thing is the concept of it. Now that I've had to mess around with a lot more, not music sharing, but music collaboration sites.
Yeah.
I get it. And what it is that theirs is set up very similar. It's just not laid out very smart. And I mean that in the sense that if you were just a newbie coming there and checking out something, the download is actually one of them will be the song itself, and the other ones will be the mixable tracks that they are letting you use to remix whatever parts of their song they have, and it sometimes will also be the MP3 files of songs by other people that they used to remix for that song. So if you just click on something...
So wait, one of the downloads is...
The actual song.
Okay.
And
because I wasn't able to find that when I did it, but
right, and that's because it only shows up in either like the pop-up window, or I don't have the site open right now, but it's it only shows up in like maybe one spot. And what it does before that is it kind of shows you like in the list, maybe it only shows you like maybe the first and second ones, and then doesn't show the rest of the files. Like it'll show you a preview of like here are two of the files from it, and if the original isn't one of them. I don't know. So that's, but I mean, and like I said, I'm not looking at the site, but if you're clicking around on it, it's not very intuitive. But since I've had to go to a lot of sites where it's like, oh, here's the files to download. Here's the song that it's supposed to sound like when it's done. Or here's my, you know, version of the files that I'm using, which are labeled here. So I finally got it and I was listening to it and I'm going around and I'm like, people actually do share a lot of samples with each other to create other songs. And some of them aren't that bad. Actually, a lot of them are pretty good. And it's kind of impressive once you start actually looking at the list of like, oh, this was used to make this song by this, you know, from this person over here and other things like that. So kind of got into that. But then kind of hit a lull and I couldn't find a lot of music. So I think I only have one or two, maybe even just one, that I downloaded off of that site. But the beauty of it is that we're guaranteed to have all of them being able to be used on the show because they all have to be derivatives, or be able to be derivatives.
Yeah, so, no, that's a good point.
So that was good because then I hate it when I'm listening to one and I'm like, oh, it's a non-derivative song and I can't use it.
Yeah.
One of the other. Yeah, that's a bummer. I hate that, especially on Jamendo because, like we said before, you have to go back and look. You can't look at it while you're listening to the song. You have to do it while you're listening.
I just won't download anything that's not remixable. That's how I get around it. If I see when I click on it that it's not, then I'm just like, well, hope it sucks.
I like that. I like the attitude. And the other one I want to mention is the friendly game of Stomp This. That's actually a song by his stage name or DJ name, I guess, is McGee. But it's Michael Gregor over on Bloxonic. That's actually he's releasing new music every Monday, I want to say, but he's working up to releasing an album at the end of the summer. And that's one of the releases that he put out. And he's got his whole, all of his albums available, or all of his songs are available on Free Music Archive. So, and he's a cool guy, and we've talked about him and played some of his songs that he's put on Block Sonic on the show before. And just wanted to give a shout out to his stuff. And it's pretty good. It's some pretty solid, even though it's you know, mainly electronic stuff, but it's, he's got some great sounds that he uses, and they're all kind of hard, you know. It's not just the usual, you know, ding-ling-ling-ling. That's right, that's me. That's me doing light electronic music, ding-ling-ling-ling. So that's...
Yeah, well, I decided that I was going to actually try to talk to all these artists that are on Twitter. I decided I would, I guess, break my boycott or whatever it was.
You were boycotting them?
I mean, yeah, I wasn't using it. It was sort of, yeah.
I guess I was unaware of this.
Well, so it was still posting my, like, weekly thing, like my Last FM stuff on there, on that music management account. But aside from that, no, I haven't been using it. So, but I was just like, you know what, it's too hard to like go to everybody's website and find their email address, and I'm just gonna do this,
right?
So but yeah, I don't, so I guess I went like, and the Twitter feed puts all the podcasts there as well. Except, well, no, that one went back up there. Maybe it got fixed. I feel like some of the shows didn't make it through. The Films by Chris had the wrong date on it. Fix that. Well, it doesn't matter, but anyway, it
just saying the shows that got posted up on
there were some that didn't go through Twitter feed, two or three.
Twitter feed will get locked up occasionally. I don't, it's really annoying. Like, because I've had it happen to other things, and really all you have to do is you just log into it and go look at the account and or the feed that you set up, and then just save it again, and all of a sudden it's working. It's like it gets clogged like a sink. I don't understand what happened. I mean, you don't change anything. You just go in and look at it and go, yep, everything's there, but it didn't put it out. And then you push save, and then all of a sudden it puts it out like either instantly or like an hour later. It's annoying, definitely. So that's really probably what happened. I don't know. But yeah, so why don't you tell us about your music picks?
Well, so some of them are sort of picked. Well, there's two of them that are picked because I think that my mom would like them. The two by Emperor Norton Stationary Marching Band. She was a marching band director.
Okay. I was confused about that one. I was wondering what that had to do. I didn't see Mother anywhere in there, and I wasn't quite sure what that was all about.
And then she likes musicals. I think she's seen The Sound of Music like 5,000 times. And I'm only slightly exaggerating.
Nice.
And, huh?
I said nice.
Oh, and so I put that one musical in there. And then there was Mother Wolf, which is one of those, if you go look at that track on Jamendo, that's one of those ones that's, it's not clear at all, like, who the artist really is, or that it's a compilation, or it's just, you know, I mean, because some of them will have that VA tag, and then you sort of like know, obviously, that it's various artists. But
or they're veterans. Never mind.
Yeah, it could be that. Veterans of the music industry. And then super exotic 60s beat. I kind of thought my mom would like that, and she was alive in the 60s. So between the two.
That seems weird to say that. She was alive in the 60s.
Well, I wasn't alive in the 60s.
No, I know, but for some reason that sounded like a strange statement, even though, I mean, it's completely true and there's nothing weird about it. It's just one of those things, like, when you said it, I was like, why does that sound weird?
Well, I guess it's not something that you say that often about people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how else you would say it. They were around.
I don't know. It just sounded weird.
Yeah.
Sorry, I threw you for a loop on that one, it seems.
Yeah, well, I was also looking at, like, my Twitter feed here and trying to figure out, like, how long I had sort of been on hiatus. But, you know,
yeah, I mean, I've noticed you're back up there again, and you've done some talking.
Yeah, my music account was always sort of, like, not one I used as much as the normal account. So I'd have to go back pretty far to really find out when I was, like, sort of using it, you know, a lot. But there are a lot of posts on there because, you know, I would just, like, if there was some website that, like, you know, put, like, for a while I was favoriting things on SoundCloud, and just to sort of see what happened, I set that up to go to Twitter.
Oh.
You know, just to see what would happen, you know, like, how does it work, sort of thing.
Right.
Obviously, those Last FM things get posted. So there's basically at least three posts a week, because my top three weekly Last FM artists, and then the music show, and then the talk show. So it's not like it's been that my feed has been silent. I just haven't actually signed in and done anything for, you know, ages and ages and ages.
Well, I think, since I have both my Twitter and my Identica account coming straight through my IM, I have a tendency to graze more than, like, intently read, unless there's, like, conversations going on. And what I noticed is that there was more conversation going on it recently for you. So I think that's why it stood out to me more. Whereas most of the time when it's just, like, links to stuff, unless the title catches my eye, I don't even remember reading it half the time, unless it's something that I saw that was more of a conversation or something, whereas, like, this person was saying something to someone else. So I read it more like I am, whereas you'll ignore it when somebody sends you a link going, hey, check this out, and you'll be like, fine. And after a while, you'll just stop checking their links and going, oh, yeah, that's funny.
Oh, I've never done that.
Oh,
but I don't ever talk to people on IM, really, so.
Really?
Oh. No. I don't. Occasionally. Usually when people lie to me, I'm like, ugh.
And you're a software developer. You know, it's like software developers don't actually like talking to each other physically. Like
No, well, first of all, I'm not really a developer.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, that's me. I'm sorry. You're a programmer. That's right. We talked about this once. But, okay, basically computer tech guys. There you go.
Talk to people face to face all the time at work.
See, I always feel like I enjoy talking face to face. I would prefer to talk face to face to people, but I feel like in those situations, people will IM me, and it's like, really, you can't just pop your head up over the cubicle and go, "Hey."
Well, we don't have cubicles. That may be changing, but for the time being, we don't have any cubicles. So in that respect, I couldn't do that.
Right,
but I do talk to coworkers on IM, and then if it's not something we can handle over IM, I will go to their office. But I'm just talking about, like, Google chat or something, you know, like just hanging out chat, you know, like people don't really just like IM me on Skype, and I don't really IM people on Skype.
Hmm.
I keep it open, but, I just prefer, like, sort of the not real time nature of email. You can send an email in response in real time if you want, but nobody's, like, expecting you to respond right then. And I like that.
Hmm.
Whereas if somebody, like, IMs me, I feel like I have to talk to them.
Well, I think of it more like text messaging, where in the sense where, like, I don't really need you to sit down and, you know, it's just like a hey, and then you go what? And then it's like, I got, but, you know, got one, you know, I couldn't think of a situation. And then you...
That's how you talk about it.
I know. The funny thing was, I just recently found the John Wayne Texas Funeral album online, and I was going to say a quote from that. That's why it had a southern twang. One of my favorite things is before the song, he goes, all right, let's get more heat up in the ass groove, is one of his phrases that he says to kick off the song. Yeah, it's a great album. I should send you the link to that. I'm going to send it over IM, too. No.
All right.
But anyway, but you know, so it's where you say that, you respond.
I don't think of IM as like texting at all. Like,
see,
texting,
I totally do.
Like, I don't even necessarily think people expect a response on text. You know, it's just like, meet me here. Or, you know, you can just be like, you know, K or something like that. I don't know.
See,
but maybe it's because I got conditioned for IM during like high school and maybe college, when you like actually talk to people on IM, you know, like they went to another college, so you didn't see them, so you just like actually talk to them. And now I'm like, God, I do not want to talk to people. Leave me alone.
See, I have a friend who does the exact opposite. Like he will write like a paragraph and then send it to me on IM. And then he'll sign off. And then I have to email him. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just send this an email? But he'll email me like, hey, what you doing for lunch? And it's like, really, that's an IM thing. I can go, nothing. Want to go somewhere?
Yeah.
Yes. You know, that's an IM thing.
That's what we do at work sometimes. We'll
right.
Be like,
but
time?
He'll email me that, but he'll be online. But he will send me like a whole paragraph, and like by the time I'm done reading it, he's signed out. And it's like, why did you IM me this then? And then I'll have to email respond. Anyway, that's neither here nor there about anything. let's just go through some stories quick before.
Yeah, I was just thinking that maybe we should move some stuff around, because like we spent like, you know, 15 minutes on George Michaels and
right,
kind of getting. I think this could turn into like a Linux Outlaw show without any effort, with like the amount of things that are on the list to talk about. And I don't know how long we've been recording, but the Skype session is already at 51 minutes. So
yeah, that's about right. That's where we're at.
Yeah, that could definitely start turn into the 2-hour marathon that the guys at Linux Outlaws have. But we're probably not going to do that. We have things to do.
Now,
not that they don't have things to do, but
right. Now in the notes that we have, I see you did you put a link to the eSafe Creative, and I want to say we've talked about this before.
Well, I know we talked about the Safe Creative, but I didn't know that Jamendo was promoting it.
See, that is the first place where I heard about it. They about a year ago, they sent me an email on Jamendo and asking if we wanted to do this. And I went through. It was so long ago, I don't even remember what this is for.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, but you know, I'm not an artist on Jamendo.
Right. No, I know. I'm just saying it's been on there a while.
Yeah, and so I guess in a way, there's not any reason for me to, I mean,
and it's kind of tucked away in the corner. You know, even down below, like on the pages that do have it, it's like kind of down below, even where the actual CC licenses are. But, I mean, I would, do you know anything about, Safe Creative? Cause I was kind of, I remember I read about it and kind of learned about it. But I never really, I don't remember what it is they did, but I know that we signed up for it. Because go ahead.
Well, I think it's just like a copyright registry, basically.
I want to say it's because of the different services that Jamendo offers, where you actually can get paid, but your work is underneath Creative Commons. So, because they have the Jamendo Pro, where you can, you know, people can pay to use your music for a period of time, or, you know, indefinitely for documentaries, films, or to play as background music in public places, which I think we've talked about before. And I want to say this is the thing that protects the fact that when you do that, they can't just turn around and go, oh, well, this is Creative Commons, so why can't we play this here, you know? And I want to say this is like the safeguard I couldn't think. I wanted to say that's true. Safe Creative. This is the Safe Creative. So I want to say it's the people that back up Jamendo doing this and looking to, you know, it's a certificate saying yes, they've said that you can use it in this manner without having to contact the artist directly. And it's kind of the go-between, going, shaking hands with both sides, like going, you don't need to check with anyone because we guarantee that they said that this is cool. That's my take on what I remember of what it is. The site itself kind of looks like Target.com.
I wouldn't have thought that, except that now that you've said it.
I know.
It's just because of the E.
Right. Well, and also the little world thing at the top. I mean, it's the diagonal line. No, it's very much like the Target website.
I haven't been to Target.com that much. I'm going there now. Let's see what's going on here. I don't see a world on the Target.com website.
Unless they've changed it. But yes, it does have a lot to do with the E. But I mean, that's probably it. I don't know. I want to say that I've seen this particular site somewhere before.
Maybe you've seen it when we talked about it before, even though we can't remember anything about it. Yeah. So anyway, that's safecreative.org, and they do have an FAQ up in the upper right.
Yeah, and you can use it to register your works, but still keep them as shareable creative, but it's for, you know, protection of the copyrights that you do choose to use. Ooh, there you go. I rhymed again. Do choose to use.
Yeah.
I saw a story that was posted on Friday over at digitalmusicnews.com, and this is one of those, it's kind of like when Bandcamp did the whole you got to pay to have downloads things, only this is a company that people already use, and it's already like, okay, fine, we'll use you because you are cheaper and a necessary evil, which is TuneCore, which is a site that will distribute your works, you know, in on iTunes. Like, you sign up for a monthly fee, which is usually it was around between $19 or, you know, $9 a year or something like that. It was not a big fee. Just recently, out of nowhere, bands had their renewal notices sent to them, and the TuneCore has more than doubled their services up to 150%. The increase. The person on this this article did the math, and they said it's a 150% increase of what they normally offer, and it's just like, your stuff's already on here, you know, and you'd have to go and find different ways to distribute your stuff. I mean, it's pretty much them going, hey, we're the only game in town unless you really want to do the research, so pay up. And essentially saying, if you don't, your stuff's not going to be distributed anymore. And I think that's pretty goddamn lame. And there are a lot of pissed off artists, it says, you know, and so, and that was TuneCore. And TuneCore, I mean, is widely known. That's how you get your stuff on iTunes. You can get your stuff distributed to stores if you pay to do that. It gets it on Amazon. It's just one of those one-stop shops, kind of like CD Baby. And I want to say they're kind of affiliated with CD Baby. Or if it's just, you know, one of those things like they're kind of, you know, one in the, both of them been around such a long time.
So you were saying that the TuneCore is how you get stuff on iTunes. That's not...
It's how a lot of artists do it.
Okay, because I was going to say, you can just upload your stuff to iTunes.
Right. But this is, I mean, it will be the one, they'll be the ones who will do the, it's not easy to get your stuff on iTunes. You can't just upload your stuff to iTunes. That's not how it works. To put your stuff on the store, you actually have to.
Because anyone can direct upload into iTunes.
Yeah, for your own personal stuff, not to iTunes itself. You can't just go and upload your album to iTunes. Like the iTunes store?
Are you sure, Tom?
Yeah, I'm absolutely positive. You can't just...
My understanding is, so according to digitalmusicnews.com, quote, anyone, including unsigned artists and indie labels, can upload directly into iTunes.
Right.
That is, without the help of TuneCore, CD Baby, or another go-between. But after a closer look, you'll probably realize that total independence is a total hassle.
Right, because you would actually have to submit your album to be distributed through the iTunes store. You would have to send it to them to be offered. You would have to set up the license agreement, pay, you know, you would have to go through it just like you would be creating. And they are the middleman that creates it. You can't just upload it like, go, oh, I'm going to burn this CD and upload it to iTunes. That's not how it works. You actually have to submit it to iTunes.
I guess I don't understand, because when I upload things, I click the submit button, and then the magic happens.
Right.
So I guess I just don't understand what distinction that you're making.
You can't
getting it and uploading it.
Because you can't just burn an album and then upload it to iTunes and it's available for sale in the iTunes store. There's more that goes into that, is what I'm saying. And TuneCore is the people that took care of that. Cool. As well as CD Baby does. I think it's lame. And I wish it was the ability that you could just upload it and set up your stuff, kind of like you do with a Jamendo or with, to a lesser extent, Last.fm, which it isn't as intuitive as it used to be, or Free Music Archive, where you just upload it and you set your license and you can, you know, like with Bandcamp, you go, okay, this is going to be 99 cents a song. With iTunes, you can't really do that. You can't just create an account and upload it and go, okay, now it's for sale in the iTunes store. You know, there's more to it than that one because of the way that they monetize and the licensing and all that kind of garbage. So okay. TuneCore took care of.
I guess what I thought is that in the past, you did have to have a third party involved,
mm-hmm.
but that has changed. So I guess I thought that's what you were talking about.
Well, yeah, no, and it's one of those things where you don't really need to have a third party to do it, but they.
But in the past, you did.
You may have. I know that it's well, like.
I'm just reading, if the stuff on this forum that I'm reading is to be believed, then, quote, iTunes had previously required a third party aggregator, but they're now removing those people from the equation if artists should so choose.
Right. And that's a good thing. That's a step in the right direction, you know.
Yeah.
It's just that not everybody, a lot of bands don't know how to do that or don't know how to do the research to do it. And that's why things like this, people like this, TuneCore and all the others exist. I'm not a fan of TuneCore, never have been. And I think there are other ways to do it. And I applaud anybody that can find better ways. But, that's what they do is they prey on people going, they don't have the knowledge to do this, so we're going to charge them for it. Kind of like when I went off on a rant about artist data, like months ago, when they sold themselves to SonicBids. And what it was is it's a service that lets you update all of your places and Twitter feeds and blogs and all that crap in one area. Stuff that you could do anyway for free, and they were charging you like $10 a month to do it. And it's like, wait, you're charging people to update their free crap because they don't know how. You know, it's like they'll create the accounts for you, and I think all that kind of stuff is just shady. I want to say shenanigans because I like that word. Shady shenanigans.
I like how this article says something like anyone can upload it. If the artist should choose.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this iTunes Connect thing, and the first thing on their list, if you want to, you know, do things on your own, is technical requirements, a Mac running OS X 10.5.8 or later.
Really?
Well, click an X on that.
Huh.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, the other thing, too, is, and this is the one thing, and this is why I mentioned CD Baby before. While I don't like the fact that some of these services will do it automatically, CD Baby is the other alternative. If you are getting CDs printed or pressed or going to be put out and you're using CD Baby, which a lot of artists do, they automatically, like a couple of years back, they automatically made a deal with Apple where they would go, hey, anything we press, is that cool if we put that in the iTunes store? And iTunes said, yeah, sure, that's great. So if you get your CD made at CD Baby anyway, you're good to go because it is available for sale on the iTunes store using that anyway. So that is the one thing that I wanted to, you know, wrap this whole conversation up with, is that TuneCore was always another third party where it's like people didn't realize that they didn't really need to be using it, is what I was getting at. And they don't in general. Like, even CD Baby, you can do it without that. And there are so many other places to put it these days. I may be biased because I actually don't like iTunes to begin with. So,
well, I might like iTunes if it was available on my platform.
Yeah, I don't like the player. I think it's heavy and bloated, and I think it gets more and more full of crap every day. It tells me what I want, you know, and it's like, now it's got things like, oh, no, we put the Genius in, and that'll tell you based on what you're listening to. No, it doesn't.
I like the Last.fm recommended stuff. That's like all I listen to at home, basically. Which is kind of sucks because I don't know if the artists that they're playing are Creative Commons or not.
Right.
But sometimes it's awesome and sometimes it's not. The one thing I don't like is if I'll just listen to an album by some random artist that's like not something I would listen to. It's like, oh my God, you must really love folk music now. And I'm like, no, I don't like folk music. I just wanted to listen to this one album. Right. Just because I played this artist 10 times, you know, I've played all these other artists like 2,500 times. Yeah. I don't know, like two or three of those. But still, like, maybe you should wait these 2,500 plays more than these 10 plays. I mean, I understand, like, you know, giving preference to things that are newer. I understand that, but I don't know. It just seems like outliers poke in there really, really quickly. Yeah. And then they don't go away that quickly. Like I was listening to, like, I put it on, like, a tango station for, like, one day. I was listening to tango music for, like, a fucking week. I was like, ugh. And
tango music's pretty kick-ass, though, when it's good.
I mean, yeah, it was good that one day, and then I was done with it. Until I felt like listening to tango music again. But that week where it was in my, you know, recommended artist, I wasn't feeling it. And, I mean, you know, I have, like, let's just say I have 100 tango plays in my queue. I have like 100,000, probably more. No, like, let's just say I have like 100,000 punk plays.
I want to say
slightly more than 10.
There is a way to go into Last.fm, and I haven't done it in years, but that was one of the things that people would ask when they first came out, was like, what if my sister's on my computer and decides to listen to her Britney Spears album
you
twice
can delete
in a row?
Stuff.
That's what I was going
to
say.
I don't want to delete the stuff. I listen to that stuff. I want the world to know that I listen to that stuff. I just don't want my recommendations to be based on 10 songs when I have like something over 200,000 plays. I mean, it'll just take me a second to see.
There was a brief period in where I actually found it amusing, but my recommended would do one punk song and then one like blues song from like the 1940s. So like,
I love that.
I thought that was great. It was, and it would do it constantly.
If I like both songs, of course. I like the, like, you know, I'm listening to like death metal and then like Isaac Graham comes on or something. I'm like, man, that is awesome. but if I don't like the second song, then obviously I'm not pleased that it came on. So I have 276,880 plays in my Last.fm. Why do those 10 tango songs trump the, you know, 277 basically thousand plays that I've had? Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but whatever. I like that I can still use their Android app. When that goes away, then I'll probably stop listening to it as much because the you know, the web-based player is flash-based, so right. It's like always crapping out on you and killing your CPU and doing all those things that Flash does. You know how it be.
The Last.fm iPhone player finally started working again. For a while, it was the whole thing like you had to have a paid account to even use it. And just
That's how it is on Android now, but
it'll let you do the recommended one still. I can
use it now because when they kicked me off, they gave me like a 3-month free subscription.
Oh shit, maybe that's what I got too then. Because I accidentally turned it on the other day and I'm like, wait, it's playing? you know, damn it, that's probably what it is, because I remember getting an email like that.
Yeah, yeah. Let me just see, because mine has the little subscribe. Yeah, it's got you listed as a subscriber.
Damn it. All right.
You know what's funny is, so I was looking at this guy who, I guess, owns or whatever you do to a net label, manages a net label. But it was a punk net label, and I went to his Last FM page. And we had, like, very low compatibility with our music. Which I just thought was kind of odd, but you and I have very high music compatibility, which seems so odd.
I mean, I think it's because of
the random Creative Commons stuff.
That, and I think because of the send me the music over for the show, and I'll preview it and listen to it, and it'll show. I think that we, because of the show, because I think when we first started out, that was one of the things we pointed out, is that we were pretty low.
Yeah.
And it probably is. I have been listening to way more Creative Commons music than I used to. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
This is what I'm talking about. So it has our music we have in common is Lorenzo's music, Descendants, Shearer, Pop Elite Itself, and Cool Z. I have 21 plays in my library of Cool Z.
I'm not even sure who that is.
Why is that being used as like a, you know, determining my, you know, our music compatibility? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm still trying to remember who that is. So you can just walk around and rave that they're not doing it right?
Yeah. I could be a manager.
You'd be a project manager.
You're doing it wrong!
More, faster! And then you'll just walk out of the room.
Yeah. My job is done here. And Cool Z is not on either one of our top 500.
I know. I'm actually logging in right now so I can find out who the hell that is.
Your top, you know, 500. Yeah, if you go to the artist page, you can see how many Clems you played them. But it goes to 496 on your page, and you have 6 plays for those artists.
Maybe it's because it's a unique thing
I know that has to be what it is. And I know that they have on the group pages, they have the you know, that you can like see the total group plays, or you can like look at it normalized basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's cool. And I mean, I don't mind them sort of preferencing that, but when you have 5 or less plays and I have 21 plays,
yeah,
it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's like less than 1%. So what would it be like? So 27,000 would be 10, 2,700 would be 1, 270 would be 0.1. And so we're at 0.01 of my plays are, you know, less than 0.01 of my plays are this artist, and it's being used. So I don't know. Maybe they should just limit it to like things that are in the top 500 or maybe in the top 1,000. I mean, I have like over 18,000 unique artists now, I think. Mm-hmm. I play. I have 17,815 unique artists in my Last FM play. So they could probably do like the top 1,000, and Cool Z may or may not be in there. It might be in the top 1,000. It's hard to say, just based off that. This is the Last FM magnet. Really? That would be
good. I'm quiet because I'm still trying to figure out who Cool Z is. I'm at his artist page, and I'm...
It's C-O-O-L-Z-E-Y.
No, I'm there. I'm just looking at it, and I'm like going, I don't remember who this is. I don't know why I would have listened to it. So I'm just trying to figure out.
I don't think that I've played them on the show, but they are on the Free Music Archive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it must be something in passing that I listened to since Last FM is plugged into it. So it has to be something that was played on the show. And I just don't remember.
Now, I've been thinking about playing them on the show, but maybe I did. I can't remember.
Maybe.
I know I've got them lined up for a show if I didn't already put them on the show.
How did we get off of... Oh, because we were talking about what iTunes tells you to play. Okay. I was all of a sudden I realized, like, how did we get here? Why are you here?
I, Oh, I don't know if I played this. They have a song, Punk, 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 which is why that I...
So what's the song about?
It's a hip-hop band, so it's not a punk song. But, yeah, I can't remember. I think maybe they were on, like, a compilation that I saw or something. It doesn't really matter, but they've got 91 tracks, or he, I think, actually.
Yeah, it looks like it's one person.
Yeah, 91 tracks on Free Music Archive, so it's not shocking that you've run across it at some point. All right, so I've got two things that we should definitely talk about, and this Nina Paley thing that's in the next on the list is definitely not one of them. but we can briefly mention the nomination, just because we haven't, and that will take like 30 seconds if we do it right.
Right.
But you guys got nominated for, you guys being Lorenzo's Music, for Alternative Song of the Year.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And the funny thing, I was at the nominations, and I wasn't in the room when that one came up. Apparently, it was one of the first ones, so I didn't think we got nominated for anything. And then all of a sudden, I got an email going, hey, congratulations on that. And I was like, what? And then I looked, and oh, we are. So, yeah, the Madison Area Music Awards, and the voting is ending, and the show is coming up soon, so we'll see what happens. But, yeah.
Yeah, so. You should have mentioned it before so people could vote.
I know.
That's true. Madison Area Music Association. And you guys have been won stuff or been nominated for stuff in the past.
We won the first year that they did it, we won 4 awards. Nice. We got Best Album, Best Song. Yeah. And I don't remember what the other two were. The awards are over at Mark Studios, so I don't get to look at them as much as he does, so I don't remember what they were. But yeah, so we're up for that again, so I was happy that we were able to get in.
Well,
on
you
that.
Should put a link to the voting in the show notes.
It may be closed. I'll have to double check. If it's not, I will. If it is closed, then, you know, we'll see. Because I want to say that the actual award ceremony is coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, nominees. I'm looking at the page here, see if I can, if it's got quick thing. They got a lot of categories.
Yeah, they do. They usually do. But I want to say they even weeded out a couple of categories, but I may be thinking of the Grammys.
Hey, DNA got nominated.
And so did one of the engineers, Brian Daly, is nominated for recording.
Studio sound engineer.
Yep.
Sure enough. Cool.
I like that they're up against Smart Studios, and Smart Studios actually closed this past year.
That'll make it easier.
Hopefully, you never know. It may be one of those in retrospective things, like, you know.
Yeah, but then what are they gonna do with the actual like physical award?
They're duct tape it to the front of the building
until somebody buys it and like demolishes it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because nobody will also know anything else that's happened at Smart Studios. They'll be like, oh, but they want a mama. it was like the pinnacle recording studio of the 90s. Anyway, yes.
Right.
So, that's that.
It's the award ceremony is Capitol Theater, $15, yeah. Saturday, June 4th.
Oh, good to know.
So I don't know when voting ends, but that's when the ceremony.
Okay.
8th annual. So, the other thing that we need to discuss is just briefly that we're not going to have a show next week or a talk show next week. We can talk about the reasons why that's going to be the case the next time we have a show, next time listeners hear us. And of course that will be like, you know, 2 weeks from now, or 3 weeks from now. No, yeah, 2 weeks from now.
And with that whole weird Back to the Future thing where you have to think of the time where it happens after the fact, we'll also be talking about the past in the time that you're talking about. Huh?
Yeah.
Blew your mind a little, right?
Yeah. So, unless one of our, one of the many people that I'm talking to about getting interviews, that weekend, next weekend, works best for them, in right. which case we'll just go ahead and toss that back on the schedule.
Okay.
I don't know how likely that is at this point, considering it's only a week away.
Right. But who knows?
So if we don't have, well, even if we do have one interview before the next time we have a show, we can do a little rundown of who I've spoken to on the next show so people can, you know, just have some idea of what's coming up.
Right on.
So, yeah, we have a bunch more stuff on the list here to talk about, but, you know, those nights, they demand a lot of attention.
They do.
What you gonna do?
I know. So, was that everything then?
Yeah, I think the other stuff can just wait.
All right. Well, then, not next time, but the time after that, although it will still be the next time. Yeah. It'll just be a longer next time, a week longer next time.
And I mentioned this just in passing that it was only going to be the talk show, but just to make it explicit, that means that there will be a music show.
Right on. Yeah, because that's just basically, here's a song.
Exactly. Which I managed to screw that up this week. But you had the track, so you just put it out anyway.
What do you mean?
Know what show notes anyway.
Oh, is that what that? I saw that message you sent me. And
I
was
like,
what
is...
like,
links to, like, any of the tracks.
That was what I was wondering, because
I saw... Or, like, the license information or anything. And then I was like, ah, man, I bet Tom... And then it was, like, out. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I gave him the tracks, and he just didn't care that we didn't have license information
No, it's all making sense now, because I woke up that morning, and I saw this, and you were like... I didn't know what you were referring to. You're like, oh, I didn't send you those links, but I got it in now. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. So what you're saying is that you didn't have your links. Okay. Yeah, no, I was just going through the motions.
Did you look at it before you pressed publish?
I didn't look to see if links were attached. I just saw that you had your songs there, and I went through, and I looked what order they were in, and it didn't occur to me that you didn't put links on it. So
And it didn't have license information for most of the tracks either. Just
I was
CC
seeing,
it did.
Okay. I was seeing the same stuff that I do every time. Like, I don't pay attention to the license thing. I just put, you know, because I'm piecing the show together. Right, so I just looked at the order. Okay. I guess I didn't realize that you didn't have that.
I just thought it was funny that you just were like, sod it. I don't care.
No, that wasn't the case. It was really just me being not paying enough attention.
That's fine. I mean, yeah, it wasn't that big, you know.
Well, because...
I put it up there. So, I mean, people, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it in my, I get the feed in my email, and all the links were in there, so you must have had it up before the email feed went out, because when I was, I mean, I remember opening the email and all the stuff was there, and it looked like things were linked, so.
Huh. Yeah, well, I just did it that morning. I don't know what time on.
Oh, I think
Saturday.
It was like the afternoon that I
got
that. No, Saturday. Saturday afternoon. You get it like
the
day
after.
Oh, that's
when you got the email.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you...
I put it out Friday night, yeah.
Yeah, Friday night, Saturday morning. Sometimes you're up late.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it was Saturday morning, like, not, like, super early, but, you know, like, as soon as I got up, I was like, ah, oh, man, and I did.
Oh, well, I didn't notice, so sorry about that.
Well, funny. I mean, you know, it's not... I mean, I was going to have to do it at some point. So it didn't really matter to me that the show had already been published.
That's true. All right.
Cool.
All right. Well, then we will see you next time on the next Music
On the
Man.
Longest Music Anime ever, other than interview.
That's true.
Other than the interview with my dad.
All right. See you later.